Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 384, the first four stanzas. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye does see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, my ways are known to thee. And what follows, Psalter 384, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 51. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness, O Lord. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast granted in this evening hour, that once more we may place ourselves under the means of grace, may then our eyes be upon thee, and may all our help in speaking and in listening come from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit to that end? May the threshing ox not be muzzled. May thou grant a good, a special, and an unforgettable evening. Wilt thou also grant thy Spirit when by renewal on this holy day of rest we open our unclean lips? And then how fitting and how necessary each time by renewal that the prayer of the psalmist, where we have read out of thy holy word, the prayer of the man after God's heart, that he was given to beg for thy mercies with a confession against thee. Thee only have I sinned. That is a necessary petition each time when we come up to thy house. Lord, a word that prayer has never been learned, a word that's never been uttered in sincerity, from a broken heart, a deep impression of our sinnership. Then we humbly ask thee, may thy word be used to that end, that there may be among young and old, that in this evening, that they may learn that prayer by thy Spirit, and that it may be a prayer that shall be taken home, and a crying unto thee, against thee, thee only have I done this evil, in thy holy sight. But then the psalmist was given to pray more. Lord, that is also thy work. Tis the work of the Spirit to teach that prayer in a brightness and sincerity, but also the work of the Spirit to teach us that we may despair of all of self, and with the prayer whether there is yet a way, oh, to be washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also that thanksgiving, the church learns of him. Through him and to him be all things, to be glory forever. And then we have heard out of thy holy word that a contrite heart, a broken spirit, that thou shalt not despise it. May those broken hearts and despised spirits, may there have come up such in this evening hour, but also to be exercised with the welfare of thy Zion, where the psalmist has prayed, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, Lord. Wilt thou teach those holy matters to the confession of faith class who have made their oath, oh, as a poor sinner, with the confession of our manifold transgressions, the need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist has also prayed, O Lord, open thou my lips, that I may show forth thy praise. When there are those closed and silent lips, may they be opened and to be exercised with the walls of Zion. Lord, those are matters that we need to learn between the cradle and the grave. Wilt thou out of free and sovereign grace be a wonder-doing God in this very hour? Bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Grant many Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children and that aforesaid doctrine? Wilt thou bless the labors in our Christian school? Wilt thou remember all those that labor therein? May they experience thy help when thy word may be opened. Make it a blessing for young and old. Wilt thou also remember the school board and their weighty and responsible task, also in this week when they hope to gather? Wilt thou gather with them? Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding? We remember the nations of the earth. Remember our country, remember our province, where the virus still continues to spread. We commend all the sick and afflicted unto thee, all those in hospitals, all those that labor in the medical field and in the emergency department. Impress upon their hearts how dependent they are upon thee, and that under thy continuing judgments, may there yet come an acknowledgement from the high ones of the earth, that thou art the King, that thou hast to bless all the efforts, otherwise they cannot and shall not avail. May there yet come a time that in this country, in that country, that there may be a calling to repentance. But, O Lord, where must it now begin? It must begin personally, in the family circles, and in the church, that we may become in the guilt and a repentance, a turning unto thee, and a humble begging, that thou may remember us in the multitude of thy tender mercies. By renewal, we remember all the special needs. Wilt thou remember the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the mother in the hospital. May the means be blessed. Remember husband. Remember the family circle, Lord. Wilt thou watch over us, and when thou granteth health and strength, that we may be given to see thy good hand therein. Wilt thou further remember the needs in the realm of nature. We may acknowledge thee for the moisture which thou hast given. Wilt thou help the farmers when they may entrust the seed to the earth. Ah, may it be done with a deep impression that they cannot cause one seed to germinate. That is thy work. May it be done prayerfully. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, and wilt thou grant thy gracious blessing. Lord, in this evening what we forget it not. Wilt thou bless what awaits thy blessing, and may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy glorious kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. And our Lord, and nothing to plead upon. Ah, may we be given to beg of thy tender mercies, O Lord. Do look in thy mercy upon us poor sinners, and the Son of thine eternal love. May it please thee in these solemn times to do a great, a marvelous work amongst us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 266, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is King forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. And what follows, Psalter 266, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 4, the question and answers 9, 10, and 11. Question 9, doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11, is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, as justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Lord's Day number 4 speaks of the justice of God and the punishment of a guilty sinner with three thoughts. The first place, a righteous God who may punish sin. In the second place, a displeased God who will punish sin. And in the third place, a holy God who must punish sin. The justice of God and the punishment of a guilty sinner. A righteous God who may punish sin. And number 9, a displeased God who will punish sin. And number 10, and a holy God who must punish sin. And question and answer number 11. Thus first, a righteous God who may punish sin. Beloved congregation, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That was the introduction to the catechism. And how is it now with that question? Are we exercised therewith? Are we troubled therewith? Are we busy therewith? And how is it with that answer? And it is a very rich, a very profound answer. But is there now a people that may have a little beginning? Oh, Ittai, of course, in the Old Testament, much was so veiled. But when he has made that genuine choice, and when David has confirmed it, then he could say, I am no longer my own, because I have become a servant of King David. And now concerning that answer, there are rich and profound matters declared. But then let us go to the end, and then we may all examine ourselves, whether we know anything of these matters. Because at the end, then the instructor has concluded and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Thus a precious statement, and now the Lord has a people upon the earth. Oh, concerning the beginning, that is their desire, but that they do not dare to say, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, and not my own, that they do not dare to say, but they may be glad that the Lord knoweth all things. We have sung together at the beginning from Psalm 139, Psalter 384, where the psalmist is given to confess that the Lord knows his thoughts, his uprising, and his sitting. And now the instructor and makes me sincerely willing. Ah, the Lord has a people that is glad that the Lord knows all things, and that they may confess, Lord, that is now my desire. Of course, it is necessary to be led further. And then we have heard the three things necessary to know. I think our little children, they can tell me those are three points that you must remember. Then it is necessary that we learn to know in the first place our misery. In the second place, a deliverance through Jesus Christ. And in the third place, that we learn that gratitude. And now we have heard in Lord's Day number 2 of the knowledge of our misery, and that is by the law of God, young and old. We need to become a sinner. We need to become the sinner. We need to learn what we have read together out of Psalm 51. And that for the first time, but each time by renewal, does it happen, people, that there are times that we come up to God's house with the prayer of Psalm 51, against thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy holy sight. Have mercy, O God, upon me, a poor sinner. Then in Lord's Day number 3, then we have heard of the origin of our misery than we have heard from the deep fall in Adam. Then in Lord's Day number 3, then the blame has been tried to lay upon the Lord. Congregation, are we busy with these things? Have we heard our name mentioned? Because for all of us, what questions there have been. Or have there never been those questions, congregation? Can you just blindly listen to it, agree with everything? Do you never have trouble with these Lord's days? Concerning our sins and the origin of our misery, then in the last Lord's Day, then there has been attempted to lay the blame on God. But we have heard that the Lord has made us perfectly, but it is through our deep fall in Adam that we have fallen, and that we have become such wretched and guilty creatures. And now we have heard the past time from Lord's Day number 3, in that last question, are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then we would think that the next question would be, how we may now be born again to become partaker of that new life, but that we do not read in Lord's Day number 4. In Lord's Day number 3, there was a blaming of the Lord. And now in Lord's Day number 4, then there is trying to find excuse that we may escape. And now in this Lord's Day, in our first part, then it speaks, this Lord's Day that speaks of the justice of God that separates the precious from the vile. There is a nominal Christendom that speak of Christ as priest, but they have never become exercised with the justice of God. The Lord is free, the one he leads deeper than the other, but all the children of God shall learn from what a great depth that they have been delivered. Because if we have never learned our sins, our lost condition, our misery, what must we then do with that heavenly physician? Because I read in Matthew 1 verse 21, that his name shall be called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And now in this Lord's Day, then there are two special matters that are spoken of. The first, is it now right? Is it now fair to say it reverently of God? To impute the sin of Adam to our children. Thus, when a father and mother may receive a child out of the hand of the Lord, and that little one look so innocent? Is it now just? Is it now right of the Lord that the sin of Adam more than 6,000 years ago, that guilt is imputed to my little child, that my little child, that it is born as a guilty one and also a polluted one, a word is inherited from the parents? Doth not God then do injustice to men? Would be good congregation to turn that question around, and that we all ask ourselves, have we not done injustice to God? And do we not do injustice to God day by day? He has created us as the jewel of creation in his divine image in knowledge, righteousness and holiness. We have broken that covenant, and now the existence of man that is an enmity to God, his dear Son, and to free and sovereign grace. Do we not read in Genesis 6, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth? Congregation, and I say it reverently, have you ever pitied the Lord that he has such a creature upon the earth as I am? Have we ever come into depth, and that it has become our guilt when that might take place? And then we shall no longer ask, does the Lord do injustice? Then it becomes a wonder, and that we may still have a place upon the earth. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? That is the second question that is asked in this Lord's Day. It is closely connected with that first point, with the imputation of Adam's sin to all mankind. And then the second is the Lord not unjust, by requiring from us what we can no longer perform concerning the imputation of Adam's sin? Then the instructors, they by renewal speak that we had those divine gifts, and now the Lord has made with our first parents that covenant of works, not obligated. The Lord could have only commanded, but in his loving kindness, then the Lord has come so low and entered into a covenant. And Adam, on account of the love in his heart, we must understand, when we speak of the covenant of works, that is between two parties, that the covenant has come from the Lord. But Adam, on account of that perfect love, then he, reverently speaking, he could not decline. It is true, he had a free will, but then he has entered freely into that covenant. Adam was the representative head representing all his posterity. We find more examples in the Bible. Think of Goliath, that has stood up for the Philistines, representing them. Think of a father when he makes a decision, that is for the whole family. Also a king, that rules. But now Adam, he has fallen, and he has plunged all his posterity into the greatest misery. And to that end, not all the sins of Adam, but only the sin that he has taken of that forbidden fruit, that is imputed to all his descendants, that has been imputed to us and our children. What an objections there can be in the hearts concerning these matters, trying to excuse ourselves. But congregation, if we cannot agree with what has taken place, with that imputation of Adam's sin clearly written in Romans 5, the verses 12 through 21, can we then agree with the imputation of the righteousness of Christ for us people thereupon? You do not hear any objections, but it concerns the imputation of Adam's sin and that covenant relationship. And now, does the Lord then not do injustice that he requires from each of us, none excluded, that there is a perfect obedience to his holy law? And then the instructors, then they plainly explain, not at all, for God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil we have mentioned last time, that in Lord's Day number 3, then there is stressed the disobedience of our parents. Here the instructors have added, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. We could use the simple example of an employer, that he has an employee, an agreement made, labors for such a wage. And if it would now happen, and that is a terrible thing, if that employee would become drunk, may we be spared from alcoholism. It has destroyed so many souls, so many marriages, so many families, and so many businesses. I have read of Reverend John Ashworth, when he had a desire to keep company with a certain daughter, and he has went to that father a certain evening, and then that father had many questions concerning his livelihood, concerning his church affiliation. But then that father has asked that young man whether he has ever visited a bar, because that father felt
and that he could not let his daughter keep company with a man that visited those places. But now, to come to the point, even though that man got drunk, then that employer still has a right to demand that work is done and that it is completed. Thus, the Lord has made man capable of keeping the law of God. He was created in the image of God. Thus, in question and answer number 9, then another excuse has been taken away. Have we ever struggled with these matters? All with these questions, burdened day and night, unable to bow under the justice of God, trying to excuse ourselves. Then it is necessary what I read in Romans 3, verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and that we may become guilty before the Lord. Our second thought, displease God who will punish sin. Then we read, will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Do you hear it, congregation? Have you become exercised with your disobedience? Or are you still good church people? Better than other people, of course. When we go to church, we do better, but we are no better. Oh, when the Spirit works, and when that mirror of the law is held before us, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, what a disobedience and rebellion, even a stronger word, rebelling against the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, rebelling against the lawgiver, rebelling against all his goodness. Thus, two very strong words can also be that we pay no attention. You can picture it, boys and girls. If there is a king or a president, and we would just walk past them, not even looking at him, but just pretending that he did not exist, would that not be an affront to the highest majesty? That may be our picture, that we live as if there is no God, no lawgiver, no judge, no judgment day. 'Tis so necessary that we become exercised with these matters. And then the answer, by no means. Do you hear, congregation? That by no means the Lord will clear the guilty. What are you doing with your sins? What shall you do with your sins when they are still on your account the last day? Oh, when we read this Lord's Day, the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, because without the grace of God, oh, still a blessing, when we may still have thoughts of God, serious thoughts, still troubles with our sin, still convictions? Are there still those convictions, boys and girls? Are there those times that you were troubled because of your sins? And when you think of the future, when your thoughts multiply concerning already here in the time with the Lord's solemn speaking, when you think of death, when you shall be called to meet your Maker, and that the judge shall ask 1,000 questions, oh, the great day of judgment. It is written based upon the Holy Scriptures that the Lord by no means, but is terribly displeased. Do you hear, congregation? A very strong wording that the Lord, that he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins. Thus this Lord's Day speaks of the justice of God, the justice of God that is that divine perfection where he hates and punishes all sin and giving everyone his due. The Lord is just. We read in Job 34, verse 10, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. Congregation, how is it now with the justice of God? Have you learned to love God's attributes? Have you learned to love the God of justice? Because when the Spirit works, then we are given to love the Lord and all his attributes, also his justice. Then we learn that the Lord does no injustice. The Lord is so holy, and that the Lord must punish our sins. And then in beginning we are given to learn a Psalm 51, against thee, the only, have I done this evil in thy sight, with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them, not perhaps, but that is a will spoken by a holy and a just God. Punish them in his just judgments. And then the instructors first speak of temporally. Many examples in the Bible. Think of the first world. That has become so wicked, the earth was filled with violence. And then the Lord, in his long suffering, has given them the preacher Noah. The Lord has built an ark with an open door. And then Noah, he has pointed to that open door, but 8 souls, and the rest of punished miserably under the Lord's divine justice. Oh, when we read this Lord's Day, should it not be our prayer, Lord, come down with thy Holy Spirit and work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old, that dead sinners, that they may be literally shaken awake, and that it may become reality, that they may be given to see their sin exercised with the justice of God, and that a cry may be born, how that such a sinner may ever be saved. Oh, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. The sun came up, but the Lord has rained fire and brimstone. Think of Pharaoh and his host with all the plagues. Oh, congregation, the Lord can send the greatest judgments upon this earth, and without renewing free and sovereign grace, then we shall remain but a natural man, unconverted. But all we have heard, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. May that be our prayer and our supplication. Oh, Pharaoh, he has perished in the Red Sea. Temporally, that is outwardly, but also inwardly. When the Lord grants that we are smitten with blindness and darkness, oh, what a trouble sin can give, the fear of being found out. Think of those brothers of Joseph for so many years, how troubled and how fearful they were that the sin that they have sold Joseph, that it would come to light. Do we not read in Numbers 32, verse 23, oh, be sure your sin will find you out. Many sins they already discovered here in the time. Many shall be made public in the great day of judgment. And then the instructors have added, and eternally further declared in question 11, as he hath declared, cursed is everyone. Do you hear, congregation? Every boy and girl, every youth, every middle-aged, every elderly one, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. What a solemn truth. Cursed is everyone that is lying under the wrath of God. Does not say that we shall be cursed, but Galatians 6 verse 10 says that in this evening hour, when we are debtors, when we are guilty, that we are cursed by that majestic, by that glorious, by that righteous, by that holy, by that powerful God. Oh, young and old, may it please the Lord to impress that truth upon all our hearts, and that in this evening hour, that as a cursed one, we may fall and bow before the justice of God, declaring that he is holy and righteous in all his ways, and yet with a prayer, whether there is a way for such a cursed one that he may be saved. Oh, the wonder that there has come one upon the earth. And we read 3 verses later that he was made a curse. And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, that he was made sin. He has bore the curse. He is nailed to the cross. Oh, that those burdened and cursed ones, that curse may be taken away, let us first sing. Psalter 156, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Do ye, O men, speak righteousness and upright judgment meet? Nay, in your hearts is wickedness, and in your hands deceit. And what follows, 156, the first three stanzas. The justice of God in the punishment of a guilty sinner. A righteous God who may punish sin. A displeased God who will punish sin. And in the third place, a holy God who must punish sin. Then we have heard in our second point of one that is cursed. And Paul has written to the Corinthians those solemn words at the end of his first epistle in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Aladdin be anathema, that means to be cursed. The Maranatha, the Lord cometh. And now this uncovered sinner exercised with the justice of God, where more and more his excuses are falling away to that end so necessary to be uncovered, that a sinner does not only do sin, but that he is nothing but a lump of sin, and that from this tree no fruit can and shall come forth forever. Oh, that unprofitable fig tree, that it must be cut down, because the Lord demands his image back. The Lord demands a perfect obedience. The Lord demands from us and our children that we are regenerated, that we are converted, that we may turn unto him. But now in our Heidelberg Catechism, then the uncovered sinner has one more question. Oh, he has heard, he has learned that the Lord is so just and that he will punish sin. Do we not read in Habakkuk 1 verse 13 that he is of pure eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look upon iniquity? Then there is one more question. Is not God then also merciful? Why does that student ask that question? Whether God is also merciful? Because the uncovered sinner, he has learned also that the Lord is merciful. How has he learned it? In the way of experience. That such a sinner, such a disobedient one, such a rebel, that has transgressed all the commandments of the Lord, born and conceived in sin, that such a one may still have a place upon the earth, and that such a one that is cursed, that he may receive still so many precious gifts from heaven. And oh, when the Lord's works also his providential dealings, then the sinner learns that the Lord is merciful, that the Lord is so long-suffering. A sinner that lieth under the sentence of death, demanding justice, and what else? Oh, a sinner that continues to transgress the commandments of the Lord, that such a sinner may still have a place upon the earth, that such a sinner is not lying under the earth, that the heavens may still cover. Oh, that such a cursed one may even have a place in the house of God, where that white flag of mercy and of peace may still be extended out, where it may be raised. Ah, the sinner learns that the Lord is merciful indeed, but their sin, and then the answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Does never mercy at the expense of God's justice. We live in a day that there is spoken much of the mercy of God, and that mercy can never be extolled high enough. We have heard some time ago from Exodus 34, the verses 6 and 7, that there is spoken of that great mercy, but the Lord never climbs off the throne of his justice on the throne of his mercy. And therefore, according to the scriptures, God is indeed merciful, but also just are their souls that understand it, that are exercised therewith. Oh, the multitude of mercies which they have experienced the goodness of the Lord, but souls that have to exclaim, my sin must be paid for by us or by another, but also just, therefore, his justice requires that sin which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God, also sins committed against our neighbor, against our parents, but they are also sins against the Most High Majesty of God, who dwelleth in the heavens, who seeth everything. Everything is recorded. Be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Oh, young and old, may we be given to beg much for the grace of that great God, and that we may all, what a solemn thought, husbands, if your wife shall have to spend a whole eternity in hell. What a solemn thought for wives concerning their husband. What a solemn thought for fathers and mothers, for one of their children to have to spend an eternity in hell. What a solemn thought in the midst of the congregation for one to go eternally lost, not for 1,000 years, not for 1,000,000 years, not for 1,000,000,000 years, but for never, never, never ending eternity. We shall not say more about that everlasting punishment. Oh, the description thereof, without the grace of God, shall not convert one sinner, but may we be given to meditate thereupon. May we take it home. May we come on our knees and ask the Lord to lovingly and irresistibly to work in the hearts of us and our children. May we be given to beg the Lord that in the latter days of the earth he may do a great work amongst us. We need to be saved. We need to be saved today, congregation. Tomorrow can be too late. And now in this day, then that gracious God, then he still proffers peace and pardon, may still be declared that there is a way to be saved. 'Tis the work of a triune God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, then he was given to proclaim, to write, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, Paul, he has learned Lord's Day number 4, and he has experienced, and this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then in verse 20, and now then we as an ambassadors of Christ, we as through God did beseech you, by us we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast given another Lord's Day, that thou wast given a few words to speak, and that thou wast spared us hitherto. May it please thee to be the after-preacher, O Lord. Pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our children, and that those lessons may be learned which thou teachest unto thy people, and they need to be learned here in the time, Lord. Convert us and our dear children, as thou hast converted all thy people. Thou art still gathering the church, and thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Lord, may we not leave the message on the bench, on the chair, but may we take it into our inner chamber, and may there be boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that in this night they may mightily cry unto thee, that they may be saved. Lord, it may still be proclaimed that there is such a rich and a precious Savior for poor, lost, undone, cursed, condemnable sinners. Ah, Lord, for those cursed ones, may the gospel be opened. We may begin another week. Well, thou graciously remember us. Remember the mothers in the home. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember at work. Remember at school. Remember all those that are studying in higher institutions of learning. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Wilt thou keep from harm and from danger? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Bring us safely to our homes. Wilt thou be the faithful keeper, Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not in the night that lieth before us? And may we arise in the morning hour with strength With health and courage for our labors, remember the sick and the afflicted. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 244, the stanzas 3 and 4. In thy wrath, our spirits languish, sinful neath thy searching eye. All our days are passed in anguish, in thy wrath we pine and die. And what follows, 244, 3 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.